I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Radio Times. The Pennsylvania House is expected to pass a bill today that would mandate that all voters present a photo ID when they go to the polls. The Senate approved the bill last week, and Governor Corbett has said he would sign it. Democrats in the legislature argue that it's really an attempt at voter suppression, especially among the poor and the elderly, and especially in what will be a competitive election year. Republicans argue it's about voter integrity. Governor Corbett said yesterday, this is no barrier to voting. You have to have a photo ID to go anywhere. Well, today on Radio Times, we debate Pennsylvania's photo ID bill, and we have two guests. Linda Kearns joins us here in our Philadelphia studio. She practices law in Philadelphia and is also co-chair of the Southeastern Pennsylvania chapter of the Republican National Lawyers Association. And Linda Kearns, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. And on the telephone is Vic Valchek, and he is the legal director of the Pennsylvania ACLU. And Vic Valchek, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you, Marty.
Linda, let me begin with you because I'm trying to understand the problem that this bill is trying to fix. Is there evidence of widespread voter impersonation fraud in Pennsylvania?
Yes, we believe there is. But I think what's important is votes are not something that we can do an autopsy on. Once a vote is cast, that vote is gone forever, and we cannot show whether or not the person who actually voted and registered to vote is that person. We do have widespread voter registration fraud, and we have examples, like the examples in my article from this weekend's Inquirer, where multiple people are voting at one address, or multiple people who are at an address like a vacant lot or a convenience store are voting, and voter ID is something that would cure that.
But is there evidence, though, of and widespread, I mean, more than maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 cases where there's widespread voter impersonation fraud? Do we have evidence of that in Pennsylvania?
Well, that's what voter ID is going to help us prevent. Right now, we are not asking for people to prove who they are at the polls, so voter ID is something that's going to prevent that.
Vic, let me get you in on the conversation. Is there evidence of widespread voter impersonation fraud in Pennsylvania?
Well, I thought it was really interesting that Ms. Kearns' response to your question was not yes. We believe there may be, are some indications. Look, the bottom line is that the Secretary of State, Carol Achill, has testified that they have no evidence of voter fraud going on anywhere in the state. When Ms. Kearns says there's widespread registration fraud, there is some documented instances of registration fraud, not a whole lot. But I can tell you that having taken depositions of the state's top elections officials, they have said under oath there's absolutely no correlation between registration fraud and voter fraud. So the bottom line is there really is no fraud there, and that's been admitted by the state's top election official.
Well, Linda Kearns, let me get you back in just to respond to what Vic Valchek said.
Yeah. The problem here with the lack of voter ID laws is we can't prove that the people who come in to vote are who they say they are. And that's what these voter ID laws are going to help us do. I do know from representing various candidates and campaigns in Philadelphia Election Court over the last 10 years, we have multiple irregularities in polling places across Philadelphia County. We have people coming into the polling places, not checking in, voting. We have multiple people entering the actual polling booth. We have problems with our own Republican poll watchers being routinely kicked out of the polling place. And assuring integrity in the process is something that this bill is designed to do.
But how would a photo ID bill address the problems that you just described?
We have election regular citizens who are election workers, and the burden should not be on them to check signatures or try to, you know, assume that the person who appears says who they is who they say they are. By having just everyone, and this is across racial and gender lines, this is everyone prove who they say they are, then it takes the burden off the poll workers, and obviously onto the voter to prove that they are the voter on that registration card.
Vic, one of the arguments for a photo voter ID bill or law is that you need a photo ID to fly, to get on an airplane. Why not a photo ID to go to the polls?
Right, and you need a photo ID to drive a car and for some other things. And the difference is that flying an airplane or driving a car are not constitutional rights. They are, in fact, privileges. They can and often are withdrawn for abuse. Voting is a constitutional right. And what Ms. Kearns is suggesting here is that you need to set up some structure to force everybody to prove who they are, which is certainly going to be burdensome, and we'll explore exactly how it's burdensome. But why would you do that in the absence of any evidence that there actually is voter fraud going on out there?
So what do you think, Vic, though, is the intention of this particular bill?
Well, call me cynical, but when you're legislating changes to a process that does not have any documented problems, you got to wonder what the real intention is. Is it in fact to prevent people from voting, people who are lawfully allowed to vote, people who have registered? I really don't know, because this is a solution in search of a problem.
Going back to you, Linda Kearns, your response to that.
Sure. I'd like to give you the example of Joe Cheeseborough. I mentioned him in my article this weekend. He has voted regularly, Joe Cheeseborough, with the same exact birth date, at 3103 South 24th Street, and also at another address, and on 1623 South 24th Street. One is a convenience store, one is a vacant lot. So how are we going to prevent this Joe Cheeseburger from voting in the same exact election at two different addresses unless we ask him for voter ID? And additionally, in Pennsylvania, the first time that you vote at your polling place, you are required to show a picture ID. So this is a process that is already partially in place. Let's make sure you are who you say you are the first time you show up, and that's already the law, and each subsequent time.
Go ahead, Vic.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Ms. Kearns has notified the district attorney's office about this alleged voter fraud from Mr. Cheeseborough.
Yes, absolutely. We have Republicans who go to the city commissioners meeting every week, and we alert all the authorities. There is currently a warrant out for Mr. Cheeseborough's arrest on unrelated charges, so he is not that difficult to – he's not that easy to find.
Right, so unrelated charges, because, you know, the answer for voter fraud is that it's already a felony. It's a crime in Pennsylvania. So if somebody is engaging in voter fraud, then that person can and should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But even assuming that this is a real live instance of voter fraud, you're talking about one over how many years of examples are we looking at? So, I mean, that does not justify imposing the tremendous burden, and I do want to explore the burden on people who've been voting for decades in some cases, who all of a sudden are not going to get to vote.
Well, picking up on that, Vic, if this passes, and it certainly looks like it will, and certainly the governor said he will sign it, who do you think will be disadvantaged by this law in Pennsylvania?
Well, I think that the numbers are potentially staggering. What the Secretary of State and the proponents of voter ID have said is that it's only about 90,000 people. Okay, first of all, let's just think about only 90,000 people who don't have some kind of ID, and that's still a huge number. But the problem with that number is that we think it vastly understates the amount of people who don't have voter ID. For instance, we've actually filed litigation trying to get the data to support that figure, and the state has refused to release that data. They can't show us the math on how it's done. As we understand it, what they have done is looked at the total number of registered voters in Pennsylvania, which I think is about 8 million. Then they have taken the total number of driver's licenses or PennDOT-issued IDs and subtracted that number and come up with 89,000. The problem, even on the surface, with that analysis is that the number of people who have photo IDs is not the same as the people who vote. There's about 50% of the population, voting population in Pennsylvania, has not registered to vote. You've also got a large number of non-citizen drivers. These are people who are here lawfully, but because they're not citizens, they can't vote. You've got people who've died. You've got people who moved. So what we think is actually a much more telling figure is that in December, Jonathan Marks, who is the commissioner of the Bureau of Commissions, Elections and Legislation, one of the top elections officials in the Secretary of State's office, said at a League of Women Voters forum in Harrisburg that, in fact, his office has not been able to ascertain that there's about 3 million voters in Pennsylvania that have ID. Now, that's not saying there's 3 million voters without photo ID.
Right.
That's 3 million voters they haven't been able to confirm that have ID. Our understanding is, based on studies that have been done in other states, is that it's about 10% of voters do not have photo ID. And if that's the case, you're looking at about 800,000 people. And that's a huge number.
Well, let me go back to you, Linda Kearns, and just looking at these numbers. And you talked about a couple of instances where people were either fraudulently voting or fraudulently registering to vote. But balance that against the numbers that Vic just put out about the numbers of people that would have to take separate steps in order to get a photo ID. How do you reconcile that? What looks like an imbalance?
We live in a society where photo ID is just a way of life. Cashing a check, cashing your Social Security check, signing up for unemployment benefits, signing up for welfare benefits. I would think that if we are this worried about this many people without voter ID, or any type of photo ID, we would be applauding this law because it provides a way for this population to obtain an ID from this Commonwealth of Pennsylvania free of charge. That non-driver license ID is only $13.50 if you have to pay for it. But under this new law, we would be able to give these people a free photo ID, and that would bring them more into society rather than leave them out on the margins.
And we're almost up on a break here, but imagine that person is an older woman. She doesn't have a car. She has to get herself to the PennDOT office in order to get the information. She doesn't have her birth certificate. I mean, all the things that you would need in order to get a photo ID. What do you say to her?
Well, she needed a photo ID to originally vote in her polling place, and she needs to get herself to the polling place to vote. I mean, there are steps you have to take to vote. You have to get there within the time that's prescribed for voting. You have to actually get to the voting polling place. You have to register to vote. So sure, there are steps to take. I don't think anyone believes that in order to vote, there should be absolutely undividedly no steps to take.
Well, we're going to take that short break and then get back to our conversation debating the voter photo ID bill that's in Pennsylvania. In fact, currently being debated in the House. It looks like the House will pass it, and Governor Corbett has said that he would sign it. Linda Kearns is co-chair of the Southeastern Pennsylvania chapter of the Republican National Lawyers Association. She joins us here in our Philadelphia studios, and on the telephone is Vic Valchek, and he's legal director of the ACLU of Pennsylvania. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Bringing together artists and patrons for 18 years, the Philadelphia Invitational Furniture Show supports WHYY. This year, the show moves downtown to the 23rd Street Armory on 23rd just south of Market and runs from Friday evening, March 23rd to Sunday the 25th. Featuring modern and traditional tables, chairs, beds, desks, lighting, and tabletop items. For more info, philaifs.com. The Philadelphia Invitational Furniture Show. Invest in beauty.
The Discover Newsworks Discover the Philadelphia Region Sweepstakes. Newsworks.org is giving away great prizes to our Facebook fans. This week, enter to win a supporter-level membership to the Barnes Foundation. Visit Facebook.com/Newsworks and enter weekly. Share with your friends for extra chances to win. Like Newsworks on Facebook to enter. No purchase necessary. For a complete list of rules, go to Newsworks.org. Newsworks.org, powered by WHYY and you. Smart. Local. News.
Drexel supports WHYY. If you are at least 20 pounds overweight, you may be eligible to participate in a research study called the ENACT Project at Drexel University. This year-long weight loss study is funded by the National Institutes of Health and is designed to help adult men and women lose weight and keep it off without medication. Guidance from weight loss specialists at group meetings is included. For more information, 215-762-8400. 215-762-8400.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. A voter ID bill is closer to becoming law in Pennsylvania. The House is expected to approve it today, and Governor Corbett has said he would sign it. The law requires a voter to show a valid photo ID every time they cast their ballot. Supporters say it ensures voter integrity, while critics say it's really about voter suppression. That's what we're talking about with our guests, Vic Volchek and Linda Kearns. And we have calls coming into 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Vic, let me put something to you. When we actually had author of a report from the Pew Center on the states finding that something like 1 in 8 voter registration records are actually wrong, the wrong address, multiple addresses. How much does that complicate any effort to try to create a photo ID bill, or even to ensure that there is some kind of integrity at the polls?
Yeah, there's a couple of questions there. One is in terms of problems with voting records. I mean, that is has been a longstanding problem. It's something that recently required computer databases are in the process of fixing. And the fact that somebody may have moved or there's some error in sort of that kind of registration, when that person comes to the polls, they can only come once. They have to come to the right polling place. They have to sign. The signature has to match. So there's already some check on the person, in fact, voting only once in that kind of situation. But what I want to go back to is what Ms. Kearns was talking about, how essentially, you know, if you're kind of old and you need to get ID and you don't have it, just suck it up and go get it, because you know you're going to have to go vote at the polling place. And of course, you can vote absentee in a lot of places. They actually vote at the nursing homes. But it's not that easy. In order to get these IDs, you have to, first of all, you have to come with a valid Social Security card. Can't be a photocopy. So if you don't have a Social Security card, if you've misplaced it or lost it, you have to go in person to the Social Security Administration. You also have to come with an original birth certificate. Now, this is not what's issued by the hospitals. It can't be a photocopy. It has to be what's called a raised seal birth certificate. If you don't have one, you have to order one from the Commonwealth, and if you do it online and you pay an extra fee, you can get it within about 10 days. And again, that costs at a minimum $10, not including the extra postage. If you're doing it by mail, it could take 8 to 12 weeks to get that kind of a birth certificate. If you were born in another state, it can cost up to $45. So again, this is not a completely free process. It's not a process that everybody's going to be engaged in, and there are a certain number of people, and this is largely going to fall on the elderly population, where they don't have birth certificates. They were birthed by midwives out somewhere in a rural area, or their birth certificate was burned in a fire. I mean, those are the kind of stories that we're hearing. So not everybody is going to be able to produce the kind of documentation that's required under this bill in order to get that kind of ID.
Go ahead, Linda Kearns, and get you to respond.
I think the problem isn't with voter ID. It's with helping these people obtain those certificates, obtain the information that they need to get a voter ID. A photo ID. Right now, in order to get into a federal building, you need a photo ID. To get into City Hall on election day to complain about a voting irregularity, you have to go through security and provide a voter ID. If I wanted to go and complain to Eric Holder at the Justice Department in D.C. about the voter ID laws, I would need a photo ID to get into the building. So it strikes me that perhaps the problem isn't the voter ID law. The problem is helping people get these photo IDs, and perhaps organizations like the ACLU should concentrate on that so these people aren't marginalized in a society where we need photo ID.
Well, let me quote something from the County Commissioner Association of Pennsylvania, and this was a couple of months ago, so I don't think it's outdated, but nonetheless, it's not something that was said recently. This is the head of the County Commissioner Association. I'm squarely against fraud, but the County Commissioner Association of Pennsylvania is in clear opposition to the bill. This is the bill for photo ID. They talked about the fact that they find no evidence substantiated by a search of case records and anecdotal information about counties that have an issue with voter fraud. This also, the AARP is against this particular bill as well. And I'm just curious, Linda, what your response is to these organizations that are for voter integrity and obviously for access to the polls as well.
Honestly, I don't understand if you're for voter integrity, how you could be against voter ID. I don't know what the motivation is to be against voter ID. Perhaps, is there a desire out there to create a gray area, a pool of ineligible voters who could possibly come and vote even though they don't have the proper credentials and shouldn't be allowed to vote? Or is it just this reflexive mentality? If the Republicans say it, it must be wrong. Voter ID, I think, is something that protects you, protects me, and protects all the voters who do go and vote and are registered and make sure their votes aren't diluted.
Well, I think we all are in favor of voter integrity. I mean, that's something that everyone should believe in. But I'm trying to imagine if I were a voter and I wanted to vote fraudulently, I would get a fraudulently or false photo ID. I would go to the polls pretending to be somebody else and hope that the people at the polls don't recognize me or don't realize that I am impersonating somebody else. And I risk going to jail for that kind of behavior. I don't understand why someone would do that and whether that's happening on a mass scale.
Well, here in Philadelphia, in the city's Logan section where houses burned down 15 years ago, we have people voting from those vacant lots. We have names of people voting who are regularly showing up at the polls and voting, so we know it is happening. And voter ID is something that is going to prevent that because you can't get a photo ID for a vacant lot.
Vic, is Philadelphia an outlier when it comes to Pennsylvania?
Well, pardon my skepticism, but if these are really examples of voter fraud, then why is Secretary of State Hochul not trumpeting this? Why are we not seeing prosecutions in Philadelphia and all across the Commonwealth? Secretary Hochul had an interesting quote in the Pittsburgh Post Gazette late last week after the Senate passed the voter ID bill, and she said, "Well, we don't have any evidence of actual voter fraud, but in fact, people think that it happens out there, and so in order to assure people that the elections are fair, we need to pass this." And I thought that was really precious because it's largely the Republican Party who is out there scaring people about this non-existent voter fraud, and then they use those scare tactics to try to justify saying, "Oh, well, we have to do this so people aren't alarmed." I mean, that's just, it's really quite priceless.
You see this as a partisan argument, Vic?
Well, I think it is largely partisan. I mean, the people who seem to be supporting this are almost exclusively Republicans. I think you had three Republicans who crossed over in the Senate and voted on the Democratic side of this. But when you look across the country at all of the states where, in fact, voter ID is being pushed, it seems in 100% of those situations, it is being pushed by the Republican Party. And if you look at the people who are likely to be disenfranchised by these kinds of laws, it fits certain demographic groups. It's the urban poor, a large percentage of which are racial and ethnic minorities. It's senior citizens, and those tend to be demographic groups that vote more with the Democratic Party than they do with the Republicans. So I think there is some cause for cynicism.
Well,
there.
Let me give Linda Kearns a chance to respond to that, and then we will get to our callers.
I know that when the Indiana voter ID law was found constitutional by the United States Supreme Court, that voter ID opponents couldn't produce one single disenfranchised eligible voter. And this should not be a partisan issue, but I do know that there are plenty of Democrats and independents. Governor Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island, independent. Rhode Island State Representative John Bryan, Democrat. Texas State Representative Joe Pickett, Democrat. These individuals are for voter ID, so this should not be a Republican-Democrat issue, and I don't think it necessarily is, because there are people from both sides of the aisle who want to assure the integrity of our elections.
Well, let me quickly reintroduce the two of you. We've got a full bank of calls here, not surprising. Linda Kearns is a lawyer practicing here in Philadelphia. She's also co-chair of the Southeastern Pennsylvania chapter of the Republican National Lawyers Association. On the telephone is Vic Valchek, and he is the legal director of the ACLU of Pennsylvania. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Let me get Mary from Philadelphia to join our conversation. And Mary, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're
first
welcome.
Of all, I am not a Republican. I am a very ardent Democrat, have been for about 30 of my 78 years. But I do support this photo ID bill because I think there are a great many opportunities for fraud, despite what my fellow Democrat, Mr. Valchek, says. And I've worked in the polls, and I've there are just too many dead people on the rolls. So they need to, first of all, get those off. But also, what we need to do is what we did down south in voter registration in the 60s. Take mobile vans, or whatever you want to call them, around and get people to sign up that way. Not make them go to City Hall or whatever place I went to get my voter ID. I don't have a car anymore, and I am one of those elderly persons. But it's very important. I think Mr. Valchek mentioned that.
Well, you know what, Mary, if you don't mind, only because you raise a really several good points, and I want to give both of our guests a chance to weigh in on that. We've got a lot of callers as well, and so let me take your point. And Vic, she describes herself as a Democrat, but she believes that there is voter fraud, and it's a serious problem.
Yeah, I actually didn't hear voter fraud. I heard that there are problems and issues at the polls, and having done election protection work myself since 2000, we are inundated with people calling and saying there's this issue. And some of the issues that Ms. Kearns raises, in fact, people who are hanging out at the polls who shouldn't be there, are there more people in there? And those all can and should be dealt with. But in terms of, is it a good thing for people to have some kind of photo ID in today's world? Of course it is. And if we want to help them do some kind of mass education or some kind of mobilization to help people get photo ID, that's a wonderful thing. But what you're talking about doing here is conditioning the right to vote. There is probably no more precious and important right in this country than the right to vote. And you're talking about conditioning it on whether you have photo ID, and you've got thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people in this state and across the country who don't have that ID now. And so you're going to say, hey, well, maybe it's just not that important. We're not going to let them vote until they get that kind of ID.
Well, Linda, even picking up on Mary's suggestion, which is rather than making people go to PennDOT, have mobile vans. We make it easier to register to vote.
Right. I think that's a little bit of a different issue than voter ID, and I'm not sure that that's something that is covered by this bill. I do know that Secretary Achol has said that at least 99% of Pennsylvanians do have voter ID. So, statistics can be looked at a lot of different ways, and this problem of people without voter ID is just not widespread as the ACLU would lead you to believe.
Let me get to Anthony from Kensington to join our conversation. And Anthony, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. The way that you frame this, you frame this as if there actually is a debate here about access to the polls versus access to voting versus voter impersonation or voter fraud. There is scads of evidence, tons of evidence, that the motivation for these bills, whether it's in Pennsylvania or other states around the country, is voter suppression, and specifically the suppression of voters who are likely to vote Democratic. The American Legislative Exchange Committee talks about this explicitly, that this is their motivation for bringing these bills before state legislatures across the country.
And
they don't. I'm sorry?
I know. And that's that organization called ALEC. I mean, this is something that we touched
right.
earlier, but let me give...
Could I finish?
Yes, please.
Please. This is what Jeb Bush and Catherine Harris did in Florida in the run-up to the 2000 election, which has been well-documented in the nation and other places as well. The motivation for them in going through Florida's voting rolls was to take people off to take away the right to vote of people who are likely to vote Democratic in that election. This is part and parcel of that same impulse that is deep in American history. Whether it's black disenfranchisement, whether it's rules about felons and taking away their voting rights and then making it very difficult for them to get them back.
Okay, Nancy, I'm going to jump in here only because I want to keep the focus on Pennsylvania. I appreciate the history, and certainly history is important to understand, but let me give Linda Kearns a chance to weigh in on that. And he points to Florida and other examples of what he calls voter suppression.
Well, I think it's offensive and condescending to Democrats to say that they're the ones without a photo ID to enable them to produce an ID at the polling place. In addition, I think it's important to remember that a vote, once it is cast, we can't go back and dissect it. We cannot go back and prove that the person who said that they voted was actually there at the polls voting, because that vote is anonymous. And laws like voter ID protect the integrity of the process. They protect the fact that the person who goes in and says that they are who they say they are voting, so that every vote that's cast is a legitimate vote.
But what you're saying is that there should be a reason for us to doubt the legitimacy or the integrity of the voting process, because you're saying we don't know about fraud, but we think it's there and we're going to take steps to prevent it.
We absolutely know about fraud. I mentioned Joe Cheeseburger. I have other names of other voters from the registration rolls here in Philadelphia County. The problem is it is difficult, if not impossible, to go through the entire registration rolls and check on each address and check that each one is legitimate. One way to make sure that every vote is legitimate is to make sure that the person who shows up to cast that vote is who they say they are.
Vic, I'm going to give you a minute before our second break here just to weigh in on both our caller and what Linda just said.
Yeah, I mean, if there's scads of evidence of voter fraud, then why aren't we seeing these prosecutions? And you may not be able to check all the rolls, but if you check some and you find some people who are not supposed to be voting, then go ahead and refer those to the district attorney and prosecute those people. And the bottom line is we're not seeing that. And the reason we're not seeing that is that there is not evidence of in-person voter fraud. There's evidence of all sorts of other problems during elections, but voter fraud is not one of them.
And we're almost up in a break here, Vic, but if the poor, the elderly, minorities are disadvantaged, do they tend to vote Democratic?
You know, I think, you know, it's you're looking at statistics. I think statistically that when you look at the urban poor, they vote in low numbers, but when they do vote, I think they largely vote along Democratic lines. And if you look at just Pennsylvania as a perfect example, when you're watching returns on Election Day, you know, the early returns tend to favor the Democrats because the numbers are coming in from Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and then when they come in from the rest of the state, you can see it creeping more and more to the conservative side. So,
well, and that's Vic Volchek. He is the legal director of the ACLU of Pennsylvania. Also with us is Linda Kearns, and she's co-chair of the Southeastern Pennsylvania chapter of the Republican National Lawyers Association. And we're going to take a very short break and get back to our conversation and our calls at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Keystone Honors Academy at Cheney University supports WHYY. The Keystone Honors Academy offers competitive academic scholarships to undergraduate students, lessening the burden of attaining a quality college education. The Keystone Honors Scholarship provides eligible students with tuition, laptop, room, board, and fees, as well as a living learning community that nurtures growth and development. To learn more, 610-399-2386 or cheney.edu.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. After James Cunin took part in the 1968 student protest at Columbia, he wrote the book, The Strawberry Statement. 40 years later, he writes about being a company man and being laid off. Also, the latest collection from Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Mark Strand. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
Walk MS supports WHYY. Research shows that one out of two local residents know someone living with multiple sclerosis. That someone, your sister, coworker, or even that neighbor who insists on cheering for the Yankees, needs your help. Walk MS is changing the lives of the thousands of local someones affected by MS. More at 800-883-WALK or walkforms.org. That's walkforms.org for the Walk MS coming this spring in a community near you.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. The Pennsylvania House is expected to pass a bill today that would mandate that all voters present a photo ID when they go to the polls. The Senate approved the bill last week, and Governor Corbett has said that he would sign it. We are debating and discussing this bill with Linda Kearns and Vic Valchek and taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Vic, I saw several references to some studies, one by the University of Delaware, University of Nebraska, saying that voter ID laws, quote, do not meaningfully affect voter turnout. Do you take issue with those findings?
Yeah, I do. I don't have statistics in front of me on that, but this law is going to do a number of things. First, it's going to discourage some people from going because they're going to say, "Look, I don't have this photo ID, so I'm just not going to go." You're going to have people who aren't aware of the law, and incidentally, the law puts a lot of the burden on the county elections bureaus to notify people, to educate people about the ID requirements, and there's absolutely no money in the budget to help them do that. And we've heard from a number of county elections folks who said that's going to be very, very, very difficult. And then you're going to have people who are showing up who may have voted for 50 years and have never had a problem. They know they're poll workers. They're going to show up. They're not going to have that ID. And the proponents of the law will say, well, nobody's going to be turned away. Everybody's going to be allowed to cast a vote. The truth of the matter is that if you don't have that ID, even if you voted at the same polling place for 50 years, there's no question you are who you are, but you simply don't have the right paperwork. You don't have that photo ID. You're going to have to vote provisionally. And the only way that provisional vote is going to be counted is if you actually go out and get that photo ID within 6 days and present it to the elections board. And if you need to order a birth certificate, there's absolutely no way that you're going to be able to do that. The vast majority of people who are forced to vote provisionally are not going to have their votes counted. So it's a myth to say that everybody is going to get to vote and nobody's going to be turned away. Yeah, they may get to vote, but their votes aren't going to be counted.
Let me give Linda a chance to weigh in on that, then we'll get back to our callers. Yeah, Linda, go ahead.
Again, I am unaware of one person who anyone has produced who said that they will be directly affected by this law and will be unable to vote. And I do note that, for example, in Indiana, when they passed voter ID, minority turnout increased, did not decrease. So I think this is a problem that just simply doesn't exist as the opposition frames it.
Let me get Larry to join our conversation. Larry, you should say who you are.
Yes, hi. Larry Farnese, State Senator for Philadelphia,
yes.
First District.
Yes,
Democrat.
Go ahead.
Hey, Marty, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I've been following the conversation, and I know Vic had brought up a couple of points about the cost to actually get the ID. But I think some of the other issues that have not been brought up is the number of amendments, Marty, that were submitted last week, amendments that would have allowed people over the age of 65 to not have to get the card, amendments that would have even allowed the Department of Motor Vehicles to stay open a few hours later to allow folks to get those cards. All of those amendments were all shot down. We even had amendments which allowed the voter ID bill to be made available and publicized throughout Pennsylvania by different resources on the Internet, in papers, in other resources, newspapers and things like that, shot down, totally shot down.
Well,
right now...
Yeah, let me ask you a quick question. What about photo ID for students? Student photo ID?
Again, shot down. I mean, every single amendment that we put up, and we put up maybe about 13, or actually I think there was about 30-some amendments that were put up, were totally shot down. But here's something that's very interesting. I heard Vic talk about the cost. Do you know that right now in Pennsylvania, this bill will cost anywhere from $1 to $11 million to implement? And I asked, I'm a member of the Appropriations Committee, and I said, where did you get the money? Because 2 weeks ago, we were told that we have to cut $400 million in education. We have to cut millions of dollars from higher education. We have to cut millions of dollars from public assistance. And every single representative from this administration came in and said the same thing. Senator, there is no money. We have to tighten our belts. We have to live within our means. Well, then where are we going to find between $1 and $11 million to implement a bill where the Secretary of State has already testified? There is no instance of voter fraud in the last 24 years that has been reported to her office.
Well,
where are we going to get the money?
And let me stop you there, only because we've got a lot of callers, and
sure.
I do want to give Linda Kearns a chance to respond to some of the comments you made. Go ahead, Linda.
Well, I do want to note, Senator Fernie, that I'm looking at a copy of the bill, and one of the IDs that will be accepted is one that is issued by an accredited Pennsylvania public or private institution of higher learning. So saying that a student ID will not be accepted, I think is just wrong based on the bill that I have in front of me.
Now, not that it won't be accepted, but we had instances where if a student ID was lost and in the ability to get the ID, and as you know very well, a lot of folks live out of state, it's very difficult. I mean, the problem is this. If you voted somewhere for 40-some years, my mom votes at a place for 40 years, she happens to forget her pocketbook on election day. She doesn't have her ID. She is going to be turned away at the voter booth.
Well,
no question about it.
Okay, fair enough, and I appreciate the call to Radio Times, and you're shaking your head vigorously, Linda.
Larry, she's not going to be turned away. She'll be able to cast a vote on a provisional ballot. And you mentioned...
I think we all know exactly what a provisional ballot is.
Well, fair enough.
The bill is designed to do one thing.
Wait, hold on. We got to have a back and forth.
You
Go
mentioned
ahead.
People who live out of state. Well, if they live out of state, I hope they're voting by absentee in the state where they actually live. I mean, I'm here to protect Pennsylvania voters, and I don't want my vote diluted by someone who actually lives out of state. Pennsylvania voters and residents should be voting for Pennsylvania elected officials.
Senator, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Vic, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I want to talk about the student ID because much has been made that if you have a student photo ID from a Pennsylvania college or university, or you have an ID from an accredited nursing home, that will suffice. There's a number of problems with that on the nursing homes, and we're not aware of many, if any, nursing homes that actually issue photo IDs. When it comes to students, it's not just that it has to be a photo ID, but that photo ID has to have an expiration date on it. And we're in the process of checking the various photo IDs of students across the Commonwealth, and we've already found a number that do not have that expiration date. So you're going to go to the polls, you're thinking, oh, I have this photo ID issued by Drexel or whatever the school is, and you show up and they look at it and they say, I'm sorry, this is not going to work because it doesn't have an expiration date. That's right there in the law. So when they point out that, yeah, you can use these various IDs, you got to read the fine print because they're not going to be accepted on election day, and that's just going to cause more problems.
Vic, let me toss something back at you, actually something that Linda had raised earlier, and this is the Help America Vote Act, which went into effect, I guess, almost a decade ago.
2004, yeah.
Yeah, 2004, that first-time voters need to show an ID in order to vote.
Yeah, it's a different kind of ID. You have to show some proof of where you live, and that can be something like a utility bill or a lease or something like that, and then you have to sign. So the requirements are not nearly as stringent as what they have here. I mean, here, in order to go get your ID, you have to have a raised seal birth certificate. This is not a photocopy, a raised seal. That's official that you have to get from the state. Or you have to have a passport, or you have to have naturalization papers. That's it. That's your option. And not everybody has that. I mean, there's an awful lot of people in this country. I don't know if I have a raised seal birth certificate somewhere in my files. I mean, how many people can honestly say that they have that kind of identification and they know where it is?
Let me give you a chance to respond to
that,
Linda.
Well, according to the Secretary of State, over 99% of Pennsylvanians have have some type of photo ID. I may not know where my birth certificate is, but I have a driver's license and a passport. And all of those things that you mention assure me that a voter is actually a citizen and eligible to vote. So those things give me comfort to make sure that when I go to the polling place, my vote will not be diluted by someone who is not an eligible voter.
And very quickly, Vic, because I do want to get back to our callers.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Ms. Kearns could ask her cohorts to show us the math on that 99% figure. We're actually in litigation with the Commonwealth trying to get the data so that we can establish how they did those numbers. And frankly, the number that I think is much more valid is the one that was thrown out by the head elections official, Mr. Marks, in December when he blurted out that they haven't been able to verify over 3 million people with photo IDs being on the rolls, or 3 million people who are registered not having some kind of valid photo ID. So, you know, the figure is not 1%, and if you think about it logically, if you think about all the people who don't have driver's licenses in this Commonwealth, and it is a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of people who are down and out. There's a lot of people who are impoverished. There's a lot of people who are in nursing homes, none of whom drive. Most of those folks are not going to have the kind of ID that's required or would be required under this bill to go vote.
Let's see what Steve from Willow Grove has to say. And Steve, go ahead. You are on Radio Times.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the question of Linda as to why the legislation isn't more addressed to the electronic machine fraud, because they have been proven to be hacked and the voting count can be changed. Okay? And particularly, we do not have any way of doing a valid recount, because we don't get a photo, we don't get a copy of what we voted.
Well, Steve,
here we do the electronic machines, and there's no way to verify who did what.
Well, let me give her a chance to weigh in on that. And Vic, I'd like to hear from you as well. Go ahead, Linda.
I think those are valid issues and valid concerns, but this particular legislation was directed towards photo ID and not those other issues.
Vic?
Yeah, it's there certainly are those kind of problems when it comes to the machines. I mean, those are documented. What we're dealing here with the voter ID is there's no documented fraud. I know that Ms. Kearns has suggested that they know lots of these problems, but you've got the Secretary of State, Ms. Achol, testifying and saying in the media that they have no documented instances of voter fraud. So you're talking about setting up this very burdensome apparatus, about forcing people to jump through umpteen hoops in order to be able to vote, which is a fundamental right in this country, and you're doing all that without being able to show that there's any problem that you're really going to solve with this.
Well, let me get to Henry from Frankfurt to join our conversation. And Henry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I guess my question is just, Ms. Kearns has talked about this Mr. Cheeseburger in South Philadelphia, who they're unable to track him down. And it seems like it would be easy. You know where he is on election day. He's at his polling place voting twice. And so I guess the point I'd make is there are all these anecdotal instances of voter fraud that your guest has found, and why the methods that she has used to find these instances of fraud can't be applied statewide as a better prevention to fraud than this voter ID law.
Henry, let me give Linda Kearns a chance to respond to that.
The instances I mention are when we have activists going to the commissioner's office, checking on voter registration and attempting to verify individual addresses that appear on their face to not be correct. For example, as I mentioned in the city's Logan section where houses fell down 15 years ago, we have voters there, so those that we can go and check. As far as Mr. Cheeseborough, he does vote regularly. He doesn't vote in every election. I'm not sure that we have the resources to post a police officer at every polling place. And by the way, the two different polling places where Mr. Cheeseborough votes, to catch him and the other people that we know that are doing this. It's not that easy to find someone when the address they're giving us is a vacant lot or a convenience store.
Vic, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we don't know that there isn't a Mr. Cheeseborough who is a citizen, is over the age of 18, and can vote. One of the things we found out when we were looking at, for instance, registration fraud is, and the Commonwealth was very clear that the rolls are a problem, and the reason is that every time you go to renew your license, they ask, are you registered to vote? And if you say no, then they offer you the opportunity to register. And there's an awful lot of people who just don't remember, don't know, aren't sure, and so they say, okay, yeah, and they sign up again. So then you get duplicates, and that's why you have so many people working tirelessly in these county elections bureaus, and they actually are going through those lists. And it really was a problem having duplicate registrants, having people with out-of-date or improper addresses. That's being cleaned up very, very quickly at this point, because you've got everything that's computerized now. It's synced with the state with something called a SURE database. And so those registration rolls are being fixed as we speak. But the fact that you may have somebody with an incorrect address listed in the registration rolls doesn't translate into a fraudulent vote, because there may well be a person like that out there. That person does exist in most of the cases, is in fact a real person, is eligible to vote, and then they show up and they can only vote once.
Linda, go ahead.
Well, there's no system in place to make sure he only votes once. I mean, back to my Mr. Cheeseburger, he votes at several different polling places. In addition, you need to keep your registration updated for voting purposes, because you need to vote at your current address for local offices. That is the whole theory behind voting, that you are voting for local offices. And if you don't live at the address where your voter registration card says you live, you need to change that to make sure that you are appropriately voting.
And Vic, about 30 seconds before we have to say goodbye, if this bill is passed, and it looks like it will, it looks like the governor will sign it, will the ACLU sue to stop it?
Yes, we plan on filing a lawsuit to block implementation of the bill.
Well, on that note, my thanks to both of you for joining us today in Radio Times. And Vic Volchek, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And he's the legal director of the ACLU of Pennsylvania. Linda Kearns, thank you for joining us as well.
It was my pleasure.
And she practices law here in Philadelphia, also co-chair of the Southeastern Pennsylvania chapter of the Republican National Lawyers Association. We appreciate those phone calls to Radio Times. You can actually go to our Facebook page and carry on this conversation. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times for much more information about this program. I'm Marty Moscoen. Thank you so much for joining us, and stay tuned for Hour 2. We'll be right back. And do